We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. Oh,
Calvary. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for what it means to us, Lord. Father, we know to so many people in this age, it's a tradition, but to us, it's a life. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what Calvary has purchased for us. Father, we thank you for the power, Lord, that was released because of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, Father, for your great plan. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's hope beyond the grave. We thank you, Lord, for resurrection power. We thank you for an open grave, an open tomb, an empty grave upon this night. We thank you, Lord, that we have it inside of our souls, and there's a witness upon this night that he has risen, because we can say upon this night, I know my Redeemer lives. Father, we thank you for that. May you bless us, Lord, now as we meditate upon your word. Fellowship with us upon this night. Father, we've come into this house. Lord, we want to worship you, Lord. Father, we want to spend time with you, Lord. We want you to get in your word, Father, to speak unto us, Lord, because you are the only one that can go deep enough, Lord, to the places, Lord, to minister deep within the veil. You know where we are. You know the needs that we have, Lord. Bless your people. Touch your people, even as you've been singing upon this day. In Jesus' name we pray for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless you, saints. Let's open our Bibles. We greet Brother George's family to have them back. We are really so sorry for the passing of our brother Reeves. As I said the other day, I remember the day that he was baptized a long time ago. And I'm just sure that where he is today, he has no regrets that he was baptized. He has no regrets that he walked in the light as Christ is in the light. He has no regrets today. Just also, I got a message from Brother Brian Locke in Scotland when we were there the week before. He just contacted me this week to say one of the sisters, Sister Eileen, that was their real, real sweet Christian sister. I remember one of the first times they ever went there, and Brother Brian Locke's wife was really sick, and he had to rush to the hospital, and he said, please, brother, just take the service anyhow. And I was speaking about Jesus in Gethsemane, and the sister came to me afterwards, and she said, brother, it's such a precious thing to know the intimacy of Jesus. You know, to really enter into that intimate place. She was a real fine sister, but unfortunately she passed away last night. So Brother Brian was asking for prayer for her, for the saints that are there, for her husband, her children. She had a stroke. She was in hospital for a couple of days and she passed away. But she was a real sweet sister. You know, so when I heard that she had passed away, that really does take the sting out of death. It takes the bitterness out of the cup when you know that somebody was walking with the Lord, because the Lord will see them safely home. Let's take Luke 20, verse 35. Let's look at this power of the resurrection. As you want to just remember our brother that's passed tonight, there's a gathering in Harare. Brother Tsitsinze's church, we're so glad they've taken full control of the funeral. Funeral will be tomorrow for Brother Reeves. There's a meeting tonight at 7 o'clock, and we're really glad so many of the saints there are doing such a tremendous job to help Brother Manucci, Brother Marisa, all the saints that are there. I've been a lot in touch with them, and it's really wonderful just to see, you know, that our brother, the prophet says, many people die, they lie on the street. He says, you go to India, they just take them off the street, put them on a wagon, they go and throw their bodies away, not even anybody to read a John 3:16 over them when they die. You know, but what a wonderful thing that it is, that although this body may just be dust, but for people to gather and to commemorate, and an ashes to ashes and a dust to dust, and people to gather and pray to be made by people who know the power of the resurrection, and people to speak truth at an occasion like that, it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. And well, if we have to go by the way of the grave, that's what you would desire. You would desire saints would be there, not just weeping, although there's nothing wrong with weeping, but people that, like Paul said, comfort one another with these words. That the comforter would comfort through those words. Let's read Luke 20, verse 35 and 36. It's speaking about verse 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, friends, we may not be the children of popular people. We may not be children of millionaires and billionaires. But I'd rather be one of the children of the resurrection than anything this world could offer. What greater title can you give to a believer that you are the children of the resurrection? That's what the Bible says. Jesus calls us the children of the resurrection. Let's also read Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. We know the scripture well. It was Paul's great desire. And it should be the desire of anybody who uses a thinking man's filter, like the prophet says, anybody that considers their way. And especially like the Bible says, I'd rather be in the house of mourning than in the house of laughter, because there men consider their ways. They consider their end. You know, at a time like this when somebody that you love, you know, they've been taken from you, it's a time when people consider their own mortality. And it's a good thing to do. And Paul considered his mortality and his desire, the great desire he had, verse 10 of Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So we know that Paul, when he speaks about attaining the resurrection of the dead, we know that everybody is going to be resurrected. You know, there's two resurrections. There's the first resurrection. And in Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So you bless it, but it's for people that are holy. It's for consecrated people. It's for the elect, the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So blessed and holy, friends, it's blessed. I was speaking to Brother James Bloom today about the passing of Brother Reeves, because they were such close friends. You know, and I said, you know, the Bible says, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. Because that was just at the time when all of the woes were coming upon the world. And the Bible says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. They won't see these things that are to come upon the world. You know, so if the Lord wants to take somebody by the way of the grave, like our sister Eileen as well, you know, God knows what he's doing. And Brother George, when he was really seeking the Lord, and then he got that quote about Garnet Peak, that was exactly the answer. You know, dying of an intestinal flu, and Brother Reeves, he died of a flu. Help didn't get to him time. If help had have got there on time, he wouldn't have had to pass away. And Brother Ram says, Garnet Peak as well. They tried to phone me. They couldn't get a hold of me. I was in the meeting. By the time I phoned them back, they told me, Brother Garnet's already passed away to glory. And Brother Ram said, you see, it was his time. If it wasn't his time, the message would have got through to me on time. So, friends, he has everything under control. And then when Brother George was speaking about Lazarus and the rich man, you know, our Brother Reeves, he really had a hard life. You know, he never had the luxuries of this life. He never really had a fixed abode. He never had his own house, his own family and things like that. No, he never really lived that kind of a life. You know, but the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And Lazarus in this world, he didn't really have much, but he had the Lord. And the rich man had everything in this world, but he never had Christ. And when they both passed away, and then Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man went down into hell. And then the voice said, you know, no, you had your portion on earth. But Lazarus never had it easy on earth. But now he's getting his reward. And friends, that's the great balance. You know, that's what what counts in the end. It's not what you can store and amass up in this life, which goes to the thief and the dust, like Jesus said, that the moth does come and eat, that corruption can set in. But it's those treasures in heaven that never pass away. That's the most important thing that we desire to store up in this life. You know, so there's two resurrections. The prophet says we know we're all going to be in a resurrection, whether we want to or not. All will be resurrected. But one is a resurrection unto life. Another one's a resurrection unto damnation. That's what the Bible speaks about. One is a resurrection unto judgment, where people will be judged and there will be the separation of people as the sheep and the goats. But this first resurrection, friends, this is the great one. This is what any person would strive for who knows Christ, who has heard of Christ, who knows the program of God. It's the first resurrection. So what are the qualifications of the first resurrection? Because I'm sure each and every one of us would want to be in the first resurrection. Paul in Hebrews 11 calls it a better resurrection. This is the better resurrection. This is a resurrection unto glory. This is a resurrection unto reward. This is a resurrection unto position in his kingdom as kings and priests. This is a resurrection that you stand with him in judgment. that at the second resurrection, when all the rest are raised and the sea gives up the dead that are in it and death and hell give up the dead that are in it, you stand with him in judgment, because he's already borne your judgment. Because the saints, Paul says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the earth? Do not know that you shall judge angels, he says. What a high calling. What a high calling. And any believer, that's his desire, to say like Paul, I want to attain unto that first resurrection, that I might have a resurrection out from among the dead. I don't want to stay with the dead through the 1,000 years of the millennium. But when he calls, I want to hear his voice. And I want to come out unto the wedding supper of the Lamb. I want to come out unto the great millennium. The great, great 1,000 years of peace. The kingdom of David, the son of David, ruling upon the throne of David. Now when things are back to Edenic beauty once again, the paradise of God upon the earth. And then you'll be there standing with Christ in judgment before the new heavens and the new earth. That's what the first resurrection promises. The prophet says in the Sardisian church age, he says, the question now arises, he's speaking about the second resurrection. Why are these righteous ones, the sheep, in the judgment? There's no other place they can come up. So those that will receive life at the great white throne, when Jesus said to them, enter the kingdom, blessed of my Father, why were they there? The prophet says that's the only place they could be resurrected. He says, they will not raise in the first resurrection, just the foreordained, predestinated, elected bride, God's own election. They'll rise in the first resurrection. Ah, friends, and how do you know you're one of them? The first thing is, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And the second thing, you know, the seed that's inside of somebody is ordained unto this eternal life. How? You're willing to do anything for the birthright? You're willing to forsake this world, forsake, like Paul did. Paul could have been a big man after sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, such a qualified man, all the expectation of the Pharisees upon him. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was of the strictest sect. At a young age, he was entrusted with orders from the high priest. He was given a guard of honor to take him to Damascus. He was a rich man because the Pharisees were rich. He was well esteemed. You know, he was about to fulfill the dreams of his father, the dreams of his mother, all the ambition and all that invested in the life of this man. But when he met Christ on the way to Damascus, he said, all these things I count but dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. Our friends, that's how you can tell someone who's ordained unto life. They'll be willing to forsake anything. They're not like the rich young ruler that when he weighs it in the balance, he loves this world more than he loves Christ. You'll be like Jacob, you'll do anything to get the birthright. There's a hunger and a thirst inside of your soul. There's a seed, a foreordained, predestinated seed inside of you that's ordained unto the first resurrection. And there's a voice that you hear. There's the eagle cry that you heard. And then you realize one day, you're not ordained to that kind of a life. Not ordained to eat that kind of food. You're not ordained to enjoy that kind of a fellowship. There's a come up higher. And you share a voice, and there's a something inside of you that responds, where in the rest of them in the chicken yard, there was nothing to respond. But there was something inside of that little eagle that could respond to that voice. Though he had never heard that voice since he was in the egg. But when he heard that voice, he recognized that voice. He knew there was a relationship. There was something in that voice that related to him. And that's when he took his flight and he started to understand who he was. So who is going to miss the first resurrection? Because none of us want to miss the first resurrection. The prophet says in questions and answers, question 233, he says, the church, the lukewarm, anything outside of the elected bride will go through the tribulation period. They will not rise in the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years, it says. Just the predestined elected bride. Ah, friends, don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be there in that first resurrection? I want to be there. So who's going to come up in the first resurrection? Signs of his times, the prophet says. If it served God's purpose, Is that the end of it? No, it rises up again the next morning. He speaks about the sun. It rises up again the next morning to testify there's a birth, a life, a death, and a resurrection. But the first thing, a seed planted in the ground, if it isn't germatized, it'll not come up. Can you see why just being a seed is not enough? Just being a predestined seed is not enough, because that seed was in you from birth. Something's got to come and quicken that seed. Something's got to come and germatize that seed. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the power of the resurrection that germatizes the seed. And it brings that seed to life. Now that's why the Pentecostals, like the prophet says, they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour, but you can still be lost. Because it takes more than just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a predestined seed to be in the rapture. It needs the power of the resurrection and a foreordained seed. And when that power of the resurrection strikes that predestinated seed, that seed is going to now serve its purpose. And the prophet says, anything that serves its purpose, it comes up in the resurrection. Anything, whether it was a flower, whether it was a tree, whatever it was, if it was Brother Branham's horse, if it was his dog Fritz, all of them will be in the resurrection. They'll be there. He saw them beyond the curtain of time. Why? Because they serve their purpose. They serve their purpose. So anything that serves the divine purpose will come up in their first resurrection. That's why, friends, never put anything ahead of the call of God that's upon your life. Never put anything before between the divine call, the purpose that God has for you, and that holy call. That's the greatest mistake that a person can make. Because your guarantee of the resurrection, if you are germatized seed, you just serve His purpose. No matter how humble it may seem, no matter how you might seem to be a nobody, but to Him you are somebody. Because you're fulfilling a purpose. That which He thought of you from before the foundation of the world, that image He had in His mind, you are now the product of that image. And when those two things come together, there's going to be a resurrection. And the proof of it is that He's already quickened you. He's germatized that seed so that you will bring forth of your own kind whatever purpose it is that He wants you to bring forth. So the prophet says we must serve God's purpose. He says we are a germatized seed in the ground. And we must serve God's purpose, or we'll never come up in that first resurrection. So He's showing us the conditions. If you're not elect, you'll never come up in the first resurrection. If you've got the seed you need, and you'll hunger and thirst, because there's a deep that calls to the deep, you'll hunger and thirst for the power of the resurrection. You will say like Paul, I'll do anything. I just, above all things, I desire the power of the resurrection. That power to come, that something to quicken me inside of my soul, that the soul may bring forth and achieve its purpose in this life. In Jehovah Jireh, the prophet says, you may go to church. You may act like a Christian. You may pretend to be a Christian. But brother, if that germ of immortal life, of the Holy Ghost, isn't resting in your soul, you'll never raise in the resurrection, the first resurrection. He says, won't you think that over seriously? As your brother, I speak to you and encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus to as much raise your hand to Him tonight and say, God, give me that germ of life while we pray. So it's not speaking of the seed now. You can't put up your hand and say, Lord, I want to be an elected seed. That's predestination. But if you're a predestined seed, you want the germ of life. You want that something like Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road when you were fulfilling your own purpose, fulfilling the devil's purpose. Yeah? But there was a seed that was laying there. And then the power of the resurrection, then the resurrection life shone down upon the seed. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. And that revelation in his day of, I am Jesus, as he shone down, it did something to him. It changed him from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, to Paul the apostle. That's what it changed him to, that power of the resurrection. The prophet says in Questions and Answers, image of the beast, if a person dies without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will he be lost? No, sir. If he's a believer, he'll come up in the second resurrection. But if he's got the baptism, he'll go in the first resurrection. You see, the germatized seed, there's got to be that some quickening power. Something's got to come into your soul and quicken you to fulfill the purposes of God. Friends, if we struggle to come to church, we've got to be careful. If you're not even quickened to pray, not even quickened to read the Bible on a daily basis, I would really search myself. If there's no something, no yearning, no burning, no something which is trying to express itself within the veil, what hope, what evidence do you have? The prophet says, how will you know? Look at what you were and look at what you are now. There's a complete difference in you. There's got to be, because his life, Zoe life, has come into the germatized seed. It's come now, and that seed is going to bring forth of its own kind. So the prophet says, but if he's got the baptism, he'll go in the first resurrection. Now, Paul says that we have to know him in the power of the resurrection. Let's just think of this one when Sister Hope came to the end of her mortal journey. When the prophet says, when the wheels of mortal life are about to stand still. Yeah, when he says, when you feel those, you know, the death rattles in your throat. You know, when somebody's struggling to breathe like that. He says, and the doctor's searching for your pulse at that kind of a time. What's going to be important to you at that time, friends? What's the only thing when Brother Reeves last Sunday afternoon was there and he had pneumonia and he was dying there? When our sister, when she had a stroke and then maybe before she lost consciousness, you know, what would be the most important thing to a person at that time? You want to be like Sister Hope. When the prophet got into the hotel room then, Sister Hope was lying and the prophet says she was actually already passed away. And he went and he shook and he said, Hope, Hope, because he wanted to speak to her one more time. And it's like she came back to himself and she said, Billy, why did you call me back? And he said, what do you mean? She says, I was in this beautiful place. I was being escorted by these angels, by these beings in white. She said, they were the birds of paradise flying from tree to tree. She said, you called me back. And then the prophet says, when they continued talking, she said, I want to tell you something, honey. She said, I'm going. And she said, but it's glorious to go. She said, I was on my road and I had someone by each arm, looked like white angels, and they were taking me down through a white path to my home. Said, I could hear you calling way back up the road. Oh, she said, honey, just as peaceful. Great palm trees and birds like the dawn of the morning. You know what I think? I think she was just on the bridge between the natural and the supernatural. And she said, I've been taking a walk. And she said, promise me one thing. You will always preach this glorious gospel of the Holy Spirit. She said, for it sure pays off when you're going, Bill. It sure pays off when you're going. It sometimes doesn't seem to pay off here when people speak evil of you, when people misunderstand you. Sometimes may not pay off when all these other things take place, but when you get to breaking between this dimension and that dimension, you've already got life from that dimension that has come into you in this dimension, and that life will usher you home. You've already got the key. You've already got the pass. You've already got the token. You've got the ticket within yourself. And that's what the power of the resurrection is. So the prophet says, she said, it sure pays off when you're going, Bill. Ah, friends, I remember once reading a book called, Last Words of Famous People or something. It was a real old book. It was very, very powerful. It went and showed Christians right through the ages, right up to modern times. And it showed their last words, their last few hours. And then it went and took some of the most famous people, Napoleon, all these people, right the way to present day. And it showed their last few hours. Oh, friends, it pays off in the end. It pays off in the end for the believer. There's nothing worse than a soul when it comes to the realization. Just as you're about to span one dimension into another, and you realize you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. Ah, but to the believer, the closer that you get, as that veil is starting now to merge, as the veil is starting to open, that quickening power quickens more and more and more. And that's why, like Sister Hope said, it's so glorious, Bill. It's so glorious. Until you'll be like Brother Bosworth at that time, that you'll so much break through the veil of flesh that as you get into that stage, while yet living, he could see all of the old converts that he had led to Christ decades before coming and greeting him. And Brother Bosworth was shaking their hands, and nobody else could see the hands of the people that he was shaking. But he was a germatized seed. He was someone who fulfilled their purpose. And at that time, the prophet says, I wouldn't be surprised if God sends some of them down to the river to meet us at that time. Like our good brother Malambo, when he passed away and then he heard the saints calling him. And then he told his wife, they're calling me. And he said, but what do you mean? I said, it's my time to go. The saints are calling me. Tell the saints, I went and I was ready. And then he passed away. Our friends, when you get to that time, you will never, ever regret this greatest of investments that a person can make, that you lay your soul upon the altar, you die to the things of the world, and you allow the power of the resurrection to come and take control of the doors and doors. You'll never regret it at that time. Now, the second resurrection is a different kind of resurrection. In Revelation 20, verse 11, it says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This isn't Jesus of Galilee with dust on his feet and tears in his eyes, the prophet says. This is now the Logos. This is now Christ glorified, yeah? This is now with eyes like fire. This is now the judge. Because judgment was committed into the hands of the Son. This is the judge. In verse 12 it says, and I saw the dead. Not them that are asleep. I saw the dead. Small and great. There'll be Napoleon. There'll be Hitler. There'll be Winston Churchill. There'll be all of the presidents of America. All of the prime ministers of Britain. All of the dictators of Africa. All of the great and all of the small. All of the insignificant, the orphans, all of those people that, you know, the world never paid any attention to, they're all on the same basis that day. None of earthly privilege, none of earthly title, none of your earthly inheritance is going to count for anything on that day. You're just going to be a naked soul that comes to stand before the judge of all the earth. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. We were speaking of it with the children at home the other day about those books. That the books were opened. Remember the prophet, we saw it last week, he saw his book. And he saw the recording angel. And whenever he did something wrong, especially in the days of his youth, it was being recorded. It's a sad thing to think of. To come and stand before the judge of all the earth, and there's a book there, and all of your deeds are there. There's going to be people who sat in message churches, and their deeds are still on the books. There's going to be people that came and said, amen, hallelujah, all those kind of things, but they were living another kind of life out there, and all of those deeds are recorded in the books. And if you pass between time and eternity and you break out of this veil as we saw on Sunday and you go beyond the great buffer of blood that's around the earth, there's no more bleach anymore. There's nothing to erase. What's been recorded on the books? Because the only time you can get it erased is now during the days of mortality, during the days of your earthly pilgrimage. Now is the day of salvation. And these people, they had their books opened because they never came under the blood. They never had found forgiveness of sin, the real forgiveness of sin. And the books were opened. It says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'm sure you're like me. You don't ever want to be judged according to your works. I want to be judged according to his works, not according to my works. And once you're in Christ, your works now that are done in faith, that are done for Christ, not for salvation, but for Christ, those works will meet you there. Those are storing up treasures in heaven for you up there. It says in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The prophet says those who died in the sea. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. They were done away with. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Our friends, but to them that are blessed and holy to be partakers of first resurrection, upon them the second death has no power. Because the second death was visited upon Christ when he was on the cross, when he paid the price for his bride. Revelation 20 verse 5, a little bit before in the chapter says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So there was the first resurrection, then 1,000 years, and those people stayed in the graves. Their bodies stayed in the sea. Their bodies stayed wheresoever they were, just waiting for judgment. And verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. It has no jurisdiction. It has no authority over them. They shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Oh, it's a serious thing to think about. The prophet says in questions and answers, he says, now, the first thing happens when we resurrected. The ones who are living will just still remain. The resurrection will set in first. The resurrection of those who are asleep. There'll be awakening time. That's the day we're living in. There's awakening in that dimension, yeah? And those who are asleep in the dust now, not those who are asleep in sin. See, there's a difference. Our brother who died, he's asleep in the dust. Our sister who passed away, she's asleep in the dust. She's not dead in sin. But they're asleep in the dust. There's a big difference. He says, those who are asleep in sin, they sleep right on for 1,000 years. They don't wake, for another 1,000 years. But those who are sleeping in the dust will be wakened first. And these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. Ah, friends. Some people died 2,000 years ago, almost. They've been waiting 2,000 years. But these that are going in now, they're not going to have to wait there long. Because that resurrection morning is due, friends. And the prophet says, when you see them, you know the resurrection's on. You know the rapture's on. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he says, and when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death. But just of a sudden, there'll be a sweep go over us and you're changed. You turn back like Abraham was. What's the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see those who's already been resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and then we'll be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Ah, friends, it won't be long. I remember going to the grave of St. Patrick with Brother Pavel, and he said that. He said, see you soon. You know, to Patrick and Columba and those that are buried in the same grave. Because why? They were germatized seed. He says in questions and answers again, he says, this is how you know. He says, this first conscience controls this body with its 5 senses. And it's just got us all scrupled up. We reason and everything else. But that new body that comes from this born again, not this first conscience, yeah? Not your human spirit. He says, your first conscience will pass away. It's the inside something that lives. Everybody understand that people say amen. They said amen. It's not this outside, the taste and feel and smell. That's subject to death and will die. But the inside part of you, down in here, inside, that's the person that cannot die. And that's the person that the new life starts from this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. So potentially, it's in here. What is it? The word promised from before the foundation of the world. And you're only reflecting the negative. That will reflect the positive, the word. Yeah, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word. Ah, friends, that's why it's only for the elect. Because it's the word that's in you. It's the message of your day. And as that message is changing you, as you're quickened by the power of the resurrection that's in that word, this message hasn't resurrected everybody in this age. You were dead in sin and trespasses. We were dead in denominationalism and that. But the message came, and the power of the resurrection in the message already resurrected us. That's how the prophet says, that same voice that John saw in Revelation 1 heard when he heard a voice in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and he turned around and he saw Christ. He said, that's the same voice in Revelation 4 verse 1 that said, John, come up higher. And the prophet says, that same voice, Charlie, to Charlie Cox, that same voice that called out you down there in Kentucky and made you turn around and see Christ in the midst of the church ages, he says, that's the same voice just one of these days which is going to say, come up higher. Ah, friends, that's what it is. But if you can't obey his voice now, how are you going to obey his voice then? If that voice doesn't have authority and dominion, do something to you now, if that voice doesn't resurrect you now from the condition you're in, how are you ever going to, that voice going to do any good down the way? That's the evident token of it, friends. There's something about that anointed voice. The voice behind the voice. The voice of Christ. The voice, the prophet says, of many waters. John heard the voice of many waters. Revelation, what was it? It was the voice of the ministers, he says. The voice of the ministers crying out to the people. Yeah, he says that's what it is. It's the voice of the messenger. And then the voice being echoed through the ministry. It's that voice. But a lot of people hear the voice, it means nothing to them. The majority of the people hear the voice, it offends them. The majority of the people hear this voice, they fight against it. But why is it does something to you? Our friends, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. So the prophet says, the word that's in you, the body will materialize around this word. Ah, friends, so you've got to have that word living inside of you. That word's got to be expressing itself. Yes, it's still got this old cockle burr on the outside with its human reasoning and its human feelings and all those kind of things. But there's something on the inside. If you just get quiet before God and allow that thing to declare itself, it speaks so clearly to you in this day. It speaks so clearly. Coming to a close, it says in questions and answers, what manner of body will the wicked have in the last resurrection at the great white throne judgment? If you're going to have a perfect body, and you're going to stand with Christ in his glorified body, the Bible says, Paul says, we shall be like him. Yeah, we shall have a body like unto his own glorious body. So that word that's in you, there's going to be a body materialized around. And this flesh, it's going to be so quickened and changed until you're going to put on a form like unto his glory, his glorious body. But what about the rest of the people? They never had a word inside of them for a body to materialize around. They never had a germatized seed inside of them. The prophet says that sinner will rise in the resurrection to be judged in the body he committed his sin in. So if somebody died 98 years old, that's the body they come back in. Hey, the way that person was, that's the way they come up. They're going to stand in that condition, going to stand in that form at the great white. It's a sad thing to think, friends. It's a sad thing to think that people are going to be raised to stand once again. And you and I, by the grace of God, not by our works, not by anything we can boast of, but because of His works. Because of Him who is the power of and the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life because of Christ. And His work of redemption. We'll be standing there in glory. We'll be standing there in judgment with Christ. And there'll be people come in bodies and we'll recognize them and we'll know them. And you'll have to testify against them. And you'll have to bear witness on that day because the saints will judge the earth. Our friends, what a difference this power of the resurrection makes. What a dividing asunder between two groups there is here. It's a sad thing. He'll be judged in the body he committed the sin in. He'll have to stand the judgment in resurrection. Resurrection's not replacement, the prophet says. It's bringing up that which went down. When Jesus raised from the dead, it was the same body he went down in. He raised in that same kind of a body. We rise in the same body we go down, and it's a resurrection, not a replacement. Now the Bible says, we will be judged according to the sins done in the body. So that same body that committed those sins, the person will be judged in that same body. Oh, friends, it's a serious day. That's why it says, blessed is he. Blessed and holy is he. That is partake of the first resurrection. Just to close, the prophet says in Philadelphian church age, he says, 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know the saints shall judge the world? That is exactly what we saw in Matthew 25 when all the ones who missed the first resurrection will have to stand before the judge and his bride. Oh, friends, it's a high calling. It's a blessed calling. And we should thank the Lord. Now, I was saying it to Brother James Bloom today. I said, no, you should rejoice that you had a part to play in Brother Reeves being where he is. When I spoke to Brother Manucci and I said, Brother Manucci, how was Brother Reeves? Because I hadn't spoken to Reeves for years since I was last in Zimbabwe. He says, Brother, he was ready to meet his maker. He said, I was in contact with him on a regular basis. And then all the different people said the same thing. And I said to Brother James Bloom, Brother, you should rejoice that the Lord gave you a part to play, that you ministered him to where he is today. And what greater thing could you do for a person? You could leave your children a great inheritance like Steve Jobs, and it will be nothing at the second resurrection. But if the Lord can use you and I, if the power of the resurrection in us, if the token that's in us, if we could apply it by the grace of God upon the seed of the blessed of the Lord, applying the token, that's the greatest inheritance. That's the greatest thing you could ever do to somebody, is to minister them along the way. Let Christ in you minister to them, to bring them to that place that they don't have to fear anymore about the books being opened. Because they go to Jesus, like we saw on Sunday, they go humbly on the knee and say, Jesus, won't you forgive me? I'm sorry for what I did. And he puts his hand in his side and he writes, pardon, and he throws the book behind him. And the sins have already been paid for. And if any man is in Christ, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment to them that are in Christ. You've already passed from death unto life. Life, eternal life, already works inside of your members. There's already a germatized seed. Eternity is already declaring itself inside of you. And what are we waiting for? The last one to come in. Christ is searching for the last of his seed, the last of his sheep. Just waiting for the last one to come in, the last seed to be germatized. And then those who are asleep in the dust, not them that are asleep in sin, those who are asleep in the dust, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive, not just living people, but we are who are alive and remain. There's many people who are alive, but they're not going to remain. There's many who are falling away, but you want to be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And you can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own power. It needs the power of the resurrection in you. And friends, what is the resurrection? The resurrection is not an event, it's a person. Because to know him is life. That's what it is, to know him. He says, I am the resurrection. So it's your personal relationship. Your personal covenant relationship with Christ, that you know him. You know him, Paul says, and the power of his resurrection, because he is the resurrection and the life. So saints, as much as we sorrow, because there's nothing worse than going to the side of a grave and putting the body of somebody that you love down 6 foot into the earth and throwing dust upon the casket, and the from dust thou art taken, to dust thou shalt return, his red. There's nothing worse than that, because it's separation. You never get used to it in this life, because the prophet says we're never ordained unto that. We never, that's a permissive will. We should never have had these kind of things. It's a permissive will. It's something that came with the fall. But in the midst of it all, if somebody died in Christ, like when they came and they wept and said to Jesus about it, she's not dead, she sleepeth. He said, Lazarus is not dead, he sleepeth. And I'm glad that I wasn't there, he said. Our friends, we're so glad that our brother sleeps in Christ today. We're so glad that our sister from Scotland, she sleeps today. And Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Don't sorrow like the world sorrows. We have no hope. We have hope. We have a living hope. Today we can feel that hope. It's not us. It's not our life. There's another life in us. And that's the life. That's the resurrection life that's in us already, that quickens even these mortal bodies now. When you feel you can't go on anymore. Like I say, many times you go to pray and you wonder, where did the quickening come from in prayer? You go to speak to somebody. You don't even feel like speaking very much to somebody. There's a quickening that comes and you wonder, but where did that come from? That's that eternal life that already dwells inside of that mortal being that you are. And as we come to prayer, friends, as we pray for the funeral arrangements, pray for Brother Tony who's there, got there today. As you pray, I really pray that for Brother Lloyd and the other saints that are backslidden, the other believers we knew that used to be in the message with Brother Tony and myself, when Rudo used to come those days, in the early days, and they backslid. We just pray, Lord, speak through this. Because the Bible says, though he be dead, yet he speaketh, speaking about Abel. So somebody can speak in their funeral, can speak in the testimony they leave behind when they pass from this life to the next. We pray and say, Lord, may your spirit of grace, even as it comforts the mourners, may it speak truth to the souls of those that need to hear the truth. And may that great sermon of laying somebody down into the grave and covering the grave over, may that be a sermon that speaks to the souls of the people that need to realize once again that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. That this is just a transition, just a space of time that's fleeting. And all flesh is like grass. And soon it's withered and it's done away with. Let's just pray for our relatives, for our loved ones as well. You know, when you think Brother George losing his brother, you know, Sister Ruda, her brother-in-law, you know, I've got my brother still, and he needs to come into the kingdom. You know, you've got your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your uncles, and your aunts. Whosoever the Lord lays upon your heart today, let's speak unto him that is the resurrection and the life. And let's say, Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak to them, Lord. Draw nigh unto them. Lord, make them conscious of their mortality. Let this be a season of visitation that you'll pass their way. In the solemnness of the hour, let them consider that I have to go that way one day, that I have to go through that great door. Let's use this opportunity just to pray for these people. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's sing one song, if you ask, Brother George. Let's sing that song. In the resurrection morning, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. And let's come to a time of prayer this evening. Let's really pray for the saints. You may not have known the saints that passed away. Let it be something that reminds you of them that you love, that are still alive, that need to come in. And let's really put ourselves before the Lord, put our petition before the Lord. Let's pray for them in Jesus' name. Stop. you going to rise? Are you going to be in the first resurrection? There's no reason why you shouldn't, my friend. If you've heard his voice in this age, if there's a deep in you that responds to the deep that's inside of him, just yield yourself unto him. Just seek him. Just lay upon the altar and say, Lord, let the power of the resurrection, let it come and germatize the seed. Let it bring it to life, Lord, that you may express yourself in me.
Amen.
And you will fulfill your purpose, friend. Lay anything else aside, every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run the race that's set before you with patience, because we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Let's thank him. Let's put these petitions before the Lord upon this night. Oh, saints, let's sing that song. When I come to the river at ending of day, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. The same one who leads you day by day.
Amen.
The same one who helps you. The same one who answers your questions. The same one who's done so much for you. He'll be waiting on that day. You should really appreciate him, saints.
When I come to the river, and the last days are so old. This
trusting. Amen. Amen.
peace in the valley. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no pain. Lord Jesus, we thank you this evening, Lord. We came, O God, and your word, Lord Jesus, had brought us, Lord, inspiration, Lord. It has, Lord, quickened us, Lord Jesus. It has brought us hope and joy. The Lord Jesus, oh, before the foundation of the world, you ordained us for the first resurrection, Lord. And Father, how we just say thank you, God. We came to this world, Lord, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Lord, how grateful we are, the Lord Jesus. You placed in us that germinative seed, O God. So when, Lord Jesus, we heard the message, the quickening power, the resurrection power, oh Lord, it really changed us. And here we are now, Lord, trophies to thy glory, children of the resurrection power. Oh Lord, how we say thank you, God. Even tonight, your word, oh Lord Jesus, has really, oh, given us assurance that, Lord, our precious brother and our sister, Lord, they are resting in the dust, Lord. Father, that's our faith. We believe it, Lord Jesus, that one of these days, O Lord, when the dead in Christ arise, O Lord, oh, they will be among them, O God. And we, living to that time, Lord Jesus, as you promised, we will also be changed. And together, Lord, we will meet you, and what a glorious day it will be, Lord. And Father, at this moment, we commit our precious brother, Tony, O Lord, as he is in Zimbabwe with the family, Lord. Father, we pray the Lord Jesus, you will comfort the family, Lord. Even, Lord Jesus, we know that, Lord, this situation, O God, will speak to someone's heart, Lord, who is still holding on to this world, Lord, to know that there is no safety in this world. There is nothing good, Lord, in this world. And that the only safety place in Christ Jesus. And the Lord, oh, something will tell their heart, Lord, to turn and leave this world, Lord, and cling on to you, Lord Jesus. Father, once again, we want to say, Lord, thank you, God, for we know our precious brother and sister, Lord, they are in your hands, God. And Father, we alive here, Lord Jesus, help us and continue to quicken us, Lord Jesus, with your word of grace, your word, Lord Jesus, that, Father, oh, we will not be found wanting on that day, Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight. We bless you. We give all the glory, Lord, to you. And Lord Jesus, even as we are living here, oh God, you brought us here because your word tells us that no one can approach unto you until you, the Father that sent him, had drawn him, Lord. You drawn us here tonight. And Lord, we thank you for what you have given to us. It's great inspiration, Lord. We are keeping it, oh God, with fire, Lord, upon our hearts. And Lord Jesus, once again, we want to commit the church, Lord, into your hands. That, Lord, we will continue in that spirit, oh God. Oh, the fire will continue burning, Lord Jesus. The light that, Lord, we have lit, oh Lord, will continue. Oh Lord, oil, we will put in more and more, oh God. Oh, to lift us on to higher grounds, Lord. Father, we commit the ministry here into your hands, that, Lord, you continue, Lord, oh, to you by your own resurrection power and quickening power, Lord Jesus, will bring to us any time we come here, Lord. Oh, that, Lord Jesus, will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. Father, once again, we want to say thank you, God. We want to commit our going back, Lord, into your hands, that, Lord, you grant us genuine mercies, Lord. Father, let's continue, Lord, in this meditation, knowing that, Lord Jesus, one of these days, oh, surely, it's going to be a glorious day. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Since on Sunday we'll take a special offering just to help with expenses and so forth. So there'll be the offering on Sunday just to our brother in Zimbabwe. Just for the expenses, but Tony had to go to Zimbabwe and so forth, so we'd really like to help on that. So whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, it'll be well appreciated. God bless you. Let's sing one as we dismiss, by Joe.
To God, all the glory. to God be the glory.